Every school of thought, whether in mathematics, philosophy, or economics, rests upon something more elemental than its arguments or conclusions. Beneath every tower of theory lies a foundation, a lattice of assumptions, axioms, first principles, and lemmas. These do not always announce themselves loudly, yet they determine everything that follows. Ignore them, and the structure may appear impressive while proving fragile. Attend to them, and the coherence of the edifice begins to reveal itself. We feel this most when arguments clash. Two intelligent people can look at the same facts and reach incompatible conclusions. The disagreement often lives not in the data, but in the ground beneath it. One person stands on utility, another on rights. One assumes equilibrium, another path dependence. One begins from the individual, another from the system. Different soil, different house. Foundations are quiet because they are familiar. They sink into the background like the grammar of a native language, rarely noticed, constantly shaping. To bring them back into view is an act of discipline. It slows us down. It trades the speed of slogans for the stamina of structure. But it is the only way to know whether what we are building can bear weight. The promise is simple. When the floor is sound, the tower need not wobble every time the wind picks up. When it isn't, ornament cannot save it. Paint cannot stand in for pillars. First principles, the bedrock of inquiry. A first principle is not merely the beginning of a chain of reasoning. It is the ground without which no chain could be forged at all. In physics, it is the conservation of energy. In logic, it is the impossibility of contradiction. In philosophy, it is the recognition that before we reason, we must already assume. Aristotle insisted that to understand a thing, one must know both its what and its why. First principles are the why beneath every what. They do not emerge from derivation. They are the givens we accept in order to begin. To reason without them is to build upon shifting sand. The structure may rise, but it cannot endure the weight of scrutiny. Not all first principles wear the same badge. Some are ontological, what exists, some epistemic, what can be known, some methodological, how we ought to inquire, some ethical, what should govern choice. Human beings have dignity. Nature is intelligible. Causes precede effects. Evidence must be repeatable. Each functions as a ground. Change the ground. Change the world that can be built upon it. Working from first principles is not a performance of cleverness. It is a practice of honesty. It asks, what am I actually assuming here? What must be true for my claim to make sense? Then it dares to test those assumptions against experience, coherence, and consequence. It is harder than analogy, slower than precedent, lonelier than consensus. It is also cleaner. There is a danger in the rhetoric of first principles when it becomes a pose. Reduction is not a synonym for rigor. You can disassemble a watch into atoms and lose the time. Good first principles reasoning descends only as far as it must, then climbs back with something usable. A design constraint, a governing relation, a testable implication. Go all the way down and you may never return. Go just far enough and you bring back clarity. This practice also distinguishes axiom from axiom worship. Foundations are for building, not bowing. The mark of a healthy principle is that it meets reality without breaking us or others. If a first principle demands cruelty to remain intact, the error is not in the world but in the stone we chose to lay. Lemmas. The bridges of understanding between the bedrock of first principles and the summits of grand conclusions lie the bridges we call lemmas. In mathematics, a lemma is an intermediate truth, modest in stature, yet indispensable. Theorems would collapse without them, for they are the stones laid across the river that make crossing possible. The same is true outside of mathematics. In philosophy, in politics, in economics, lemmas abound. They appear as the small but crucial recognitions without which whole systems falter. To see that markets are made of people, and therefore must be understood through psychology as much as through numbers, is a lemma. To grasp that language shapes perception, and therefore that meaning is never neutral, is another. These are not the final claims, but they are the necessary steps. Lemmas slow us down in the best way. They mark the gradient of ascent. We do not leap from freedom is valuable to policy X must pass in a single bound. We cross through bridges about incentives, institutions, history, and trade-offs. Each bridge is a commitment. Each can be tested. Remove one, and the far bank recedes. We sense the cost of skipped lemmas in everyday life. Trust me replaces show me, and cargo cult reasoning takes the stage, the surface features of rigor without its load-bearing joints. The conversation grows brittle. Disagreement turns personal because the structure that could distribute weight has been omitted. Think of lemmas as scaffolding for shared reasoning. They make arguments inspectable. They invite precision. Which step do you contest? Which stone feels loose? They also teach humility. If your case depends on 5 bridges and 2 are shaky, the honest move is not volume, but repair. In practice, collecting good lemmas is a craft. We learn them by study and by scars. Metrics targeted become worse. Selection effects skew evidence. Complex systems have lag. Models compress meaning. Each is a small bridge won through work. Forget them, and you will fall into the same river again. Schools of thought, houses built on shared soil. When we encounter schools of thought, our instinct is often to emphasize their differences. Analytic versus continental, Keynesian versus Austrian, rationalist versus empiricist. Yet what unites them is not merely their divergence, but their dependence on foundations. Every school is a house raised upon a particular ground. Its claims and its methods are shaped by the soil in which it sets its roots. To understand a school is not only to know its conclusions, but to know the foundations it rests upon. To critique it without reference to those foundations is to argue with shadows. If one debates Keynes without grasping his premise that aggregate demand governs cycles, one misses the ground of his house. If one reads Derrida without recognizing the principle of difference, one gazes at the windows but never enters the rooms. To enter a school is to adopt provisionally its lenses, to see as it sees and feel why that seeing is compelling. That is not surrender, it is empathy as method. Only from the inside can we test integrity, how the rooms connect, how the stairs hold, where the drafts slip in. A practical checklist helps. What is the school's ontology? What it says exists. What is its epistemology? How it claims we know. What are its aims? Prediction, explanation, emancipation, control. What is its method, experiment, interpretation, model building, critique? And what are its canonical lemmas, the small bridges its members never stop crossing? Write those down, and the disagreements become bright and specific. There is a generosity required here, the principle of charity. Steelman before you strike. When you inhabit a house in good faith, you may still reject it, but you will reject it for the right reasons. Not because the wallpaper offends you, but because the beams are unsound or the ground is wrong for the climate you live in. Finally, schools are not prisons. They are traditions of attention. You can be bilingual. You can learn to move between houses, carrying lemmas like tools and first principles like a compass. This is not eclecticism for its own sake. It is craftsmanship across materials, toward an ethics of foundations. Why do these matters concern us? Because foundations reveal both the integrity and the fragility of thought. To ask, what are the first principles here, is not an exercise in pedantry, but an act of discernment. It is to move past noise and ornamentation to what is elemental. An ethics of foundations begins with virtues. Humility. Admit that your floor is chosen, not inevitable. Curiosity. Trace your opponent's house back to the soil before you condemn the paint. Courage. Revise your ground when evidence or conscience demands it. Patience. Walk the lemmas rather than leaping the river because it looks narrow today. Then come practices. Make premises explicit. Separate disagreement over steps from disagreement over bedrock. Keep a ledger of the lemmas you habitually use and those you suspect you lack. In conversation, ask, at which bridge do we part? In policy, publish the staircase, not just the view from the roof. There is also a caution. The search for foundations can become an infinite regress, a refusal to act until the bedrock is perfectly known. Life does not grant that luxury. We build while the ground still trembles. The ethical aim is not certainty, it is accountability, being able to show how you built, why you chose these stones, and where the structure may fail. It is also to open dialogue rather than entrench dogma. When disagreements are traced back to principles and lemmas, the true sites of divergence become clear. We cease to battle over conclusions and begin to recognize where our very beginnings diverge, and it is to seek endurance over fashion. Schools rise and fall with the tides of history, but the questions of foundations endure. What is truth? What is justice? What can be known? What must be assumed? These are not the concerns of a passing season, but of the human condition itself. To study first principles and lemmas is therefore an act of intellectual reverence. It is to treat thought not as performance or decoration, but as architecture. Before we raise our towers, let us walk the ground. Before we leap to conclusions, let us trace the steps. For to understand a school of thought is not to memorize its slogans, but to dwell in its foundations. And only then can we decide whether the house is one we wish to inhabit, or one we must rebuild.